Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It's good to be with everyone today. The river is flowing, the oil is glowing, and the anointing of God is available to everybody that is out there today that has an ear to hear, an eye to see, a heart to understand the times that we are in, and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. May the baptism of the Holy Spirit that has been accomplished in your life bring you to the fullness of what God has originally intended for each one of you. And may he encourage you today as we go through the Word of God. We're going to, in a manner, we're going back to the beginning. And I love going back to the beginning. It's a beautiful way to refresh ourselves. And we're going to do it in a little bit different of a way. How many of you have ever played cards before? I'm sure many of you, most of you have, at one time or another in your life, have shuffled a deck of cards. And let me ask you the question, why do you shuffle the deck? You shuffle the deck because you have to get everything. It's the same deck, it's the same cards, but you have to change the order, all right? Because once the order comes, it's too easy to, you know, redo what has already been done or to figure things out. So the reordering of the cards is what we call shuffling the deck. And I wanted to ask you this morning, does it not appear to you that we're living in a time where we're dealing with the same deck of cards, but it's just being shuffled? I mean, it's a reordering of things to change things up, to bring them to a place, right? As far as New World Order is concerned. And I'm sensing the New World Order shuffling the deck, another rearranging economically, militarily, politically, governmentally, you know, from the arts to the science to the universities to the dialogue. It's all being shuffled. And yet it's the same deck. It's always about bringing things to that empire of Babylon, the Nimrod, the tower, the city, make a name for ourselves. And we live in this kind of world where, thank God, the kingdom of God is steady. The kingdom of God is stable. There's no reshuffling of the deck because it's a constant. And the Lord Jesus Christ will always be at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit will always be one with the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood will always speak. In other words, the kingdom of God is a constant reality. No need to get a new priest or a new president or a new king. There's one king of heaven. There's one creator of the universe. There's one savior of the world. And this is just a reality. But in the world that we live, whether you're a Republican, whether you're a Democrat, whether you're a libertarian, whether you're a socialist, a communist, whether you're an atheist, an agnostic, you know, whatever you are, you know, everything changes. It always changes. So we live in a very volatile, changing world of diversity, and yet there's a constant thread that runs through all of it. It's the same deck. I mean, go back to the Egyptian Empire, go back to the pharaohs, go back to the Assyrian Empire, go back to the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire, the Ottoman Empire, the greatness of Great Britain, the United States of America. I mean, it's all the same deck. It gets changed around a little bit as to who's going to come to the top and, you know, who's going to lead the way, et cetera, et cetera. But nonetheless, there is truth that is constant, that regardless of all the changes going on in the world, there is a revelation. I want to get back to that revelation. And I believe that our generation is a very unique generation. Let's begin there right now. Our generation is a very unique generation. While there are things that have, you know, nothing is new under the sun. In other words, that's what the word says. Nothing new is under the sun. However, in Bible prophecy, in the fulfilling of God's word, there are things that are happening to Bible prophecy in our generation that we've never seen in other generations. And so I want to talk today, and I have a few questions that I was asking. You know, are we witnessing the shuffling of the deck with the New World Order? But here's what Jesus said. And I love when Jesus talks because, you know, his words are forever. His words never change. He's the constant. You could trust in his word. Okay. Our job is to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the mysteries. Our job is to have an open ear to hear the voice of our master. Our job is to keep our hearts uncluttered so we can understand what God is telling us, and to shut down some of the noise so that we could hear, okay, we could see, we could understand. And in Luke chapter 21, I want to begin reading just a few verses, and I'm going to start in verse 23. Well, let me go to verse 22. Luke 21, 22. It's a great chapter everywhere, but I just want to launch into this. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. In other words, a mother feeding her baby. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, in those verses, you could go over to Romans chapter 11 and have a little Bible study with that when it talks about until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. As a matter of fact, let's do that. Let's go to Romans chapter 11. What does he mean until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled? So Romans chapter 11, verse 25. And here's what it says. Let's get there. Romans 11, 25. For I would not, brethren, this is Paul writing to the church at Rome, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. In other words, don't ignore this one. Lest you should be wise in your own conceits. And here's the mystery, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. Okay, so the blindness that is on Israel, the Israel of God, the Israel according to the natural bloodline of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes, that natural bloodline, blindness is on them, even to this day, until the fullness of the Gentiles, and then the true Israel of God, according to the flesh, will be saved. In other words, they will acknowledge their Messiah, Yeshua. And we happen to live in an age where right now, in our generation, as Israel has become a nation again, and the help they're getting from the United States, a quote-unquote Christian nation, and the evangelicals that are supporting and getting behind, not always in a proper manner, because there's all different kinds of people that call themselves Jews and are actually not Jews. We're talking about the genuine bloodline of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the tribes, that natural bloodline that has been going on. I mean, it's never been decimated. There are true Jews from Abraham's loins living in the world today. There's no doubt about that. And they, all of that genuine bloodline, will eventually be saved by their faith in the Messiah, Yeshua. This will happen at the end of the end of the ages when the fullness of the Gentiles are come in. So when that last person in the world gets born again, according to these scriptures, well, then that darkness, the blindness, is going to leave. And now let's look at Revelation 11, 1-3. In Revelation 11, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. In the holy city shall they tread underfoot for 42 months, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Now, that's going to happen in the end time Bible prophecy, where the Gentiles, probably talking about the Islamic Muslim world, treading the outer courts of the temple. And you kind of go to Jerusalem today and you can see how that fits perfectly. They're actually walking all over it even now as we speak. But getting back to Luke, I want to go back to Luke, and we're in chapter 21. And I want to look at verse 25. So Luke 21, 25, and this is what kind of is where we need to start looking at things. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. So there's signs, there's signals, there's red flags, there's warnings, there's omens. I mean, this is all the Hebrew, right? And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth. Okay, so we have the celestial bodies there. Now we have these bodies here on earth. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Now, you have to understand that this is an end time prophecy. This is something that Jesus said would happen in the last days prior to the second coming, that these would be the events on earth, not a localized area in the Middle East alone, but this would be a global reality, just like the heavens. There are signs in the sun, signs in the moon, signs in the stars. And just in case we want to know what that word sign is in the Greek, it's the semion is the Greek word, semion, and it's an indication, okay, something of a token or a wonder. It also talks about a mark or a sign or an occurrence. So signs portending remarkable events soon to happen. And I love that definition, signs portending remarkable events soon to happen. So when we just came through, and I want to bring this to light, most of you have already studied this, but when in 2014 and 2015, the tetrad of blood red moons came, we can't just lose sight of that. That was extremely important to Bible prophecy, because we saw since Passover 2014 all the way to September 2017. Think about the timing in here. From Passover 2014 to September 2017, we're talking 3.5 years here, where on Passover 2014, there was a blood red moon. On Tabernacles 2014, there was a blood red moon. On Passover 2015, there was a blood red moon. And on Tabernacles 2015, there was a blood red moon. Those were the four back-to-back blood red moons on feast days, according to God's word. The world doesn't get credit for that. NASA doesn't get credit for that. That is a supernatural sign and wonder to have seen the signs, the tokens, the omens, the warnings, the red flag events from heaven signaling those on earth to understand what these signs mean. So during that time, ISIS came to power. You'll remember that. Tremendous turmoil hit the United States in Ferguson, Missouri, Baltimore, Missouri, the police shootings in Dallas. I mean, things just escalated. Violence escalated under the signs of these tetrads of blood red moons. But it didn't stop there. In 2016, we had other signs in the heavens, and then we came to that sign in the sun. Remember the solar eclipse? Well, the solar eclipse was another sign. And then in September of 2017, September 23rd, 2017, marking 3.5 years of celestial signs in the heavens, we had the Revelation 12 star constellation event. And so these things are very important, and they are portending or speaking about remarkable events that are soon to happen. Okay, so we saw these things, these signs, and now we're reading in Luke 21:25, and upon the earth, okay, so they saw the signs, then upon the earth, distress of nations. And we're asking ourselves, did we see the distress, the sunoke, okay? This is sunoke, and the word there simply means restraint, figuratively anxiety, anguish, pretty big, right? Narrowing, contracting. And you know what that word contracting comes from? A woman in travail, you know, a woman that is having a contraction. It's contracting part of a way. So the beginning of sorrows in the end of the world as we know it from God's holy, God literally testifies from heaven in the sun, moon, and stars that he put there as a calendar to the people on earth. Most of us don't even look up anymore and recognize or understand what those are, but in the beginning of time, God literally set them there in the fourth day of creation so that those on the earth can understand what God was saying. It was a communication system. The heavens were an actual communication system. Abraham, Moses, Daniel. I mean, they all understood the stars. That's why when Christ was born and the star of Bethlehem was there, those wise men, the Magi, came who were trained by Daniel in Babylon. They understood the heavens, the sign of the Messiah being born. And so we had these miraculous signs in our generation for 3.5 years. And what were they doing? They were signaling us of what's coming. What's coming? So in Jesus's address, he makes it clear that in the last generation before he returns, there would be these signs, these warnings. And then to connect it, when you're looking up and you're seeing all those things in the sun, moon, and stars, he said, now connect it and see if there is restraint, if there's anxiety, if there's anguish, if there's distress, contractions. Are the nations of the earth in a contraction? Well, my God, you look around the world today and you go, absolutely. And the deeper word there is sunakeo, and that word, it basically puts it all out there, to constrain, to oppress, of ills laying hold of one and distressing him, to be afflicted, to suffer in the soul, all right? To hold fast of a prisoner, to squeeze. Okay, so this is what's happening in the administration to press on every side. Think about that. To press on every side, or to press together with the hand. Powerful definitions. So we ask ourselves, are these things happening, okay, in our world today on the heels of the blood red moons? And the answer is yes. And Jesus, again, in Luke 21:25 says there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth, connected to those, will be distress of nations. And of course, the word nations there is ethnos. And we know that the word ethnos actually means a race, all right, or a tribe, especially a foreign or non-Jewish tribe, Gentiles, heathen, nation, people. The first meaning, though, is a race. And so you would have distress of nations, distress of races. And we are watching racial violence grow, races from the Middle East, races from China, the races between the color of skin. You know, so this anxiety, this anguish, excuse me, of the races with, okay, it doesn't end there, perplexity. And that word perplexity is aporia. And the word aporia is a quandary, or a state of quandary or perplexity. And you take that just a little bit deeper into aporio, and it means to have no way out. In other words, to be at a loss mentally. Think about that. The distress of nations with perplexity. In other words, when that anguish comes, that anxiety comes, all of that turmoil comes, that pressure comes, that contraction, and mentally, there's no way out. I know a lot of people in their minds that get into situations, even today, before this grand finale of End Time Events shows up, that are having a hard time mentally dealing with their problems. And the mind is easily overshadowed by the darkness, and the darkness makes the mind believe there's no way out. Now, Jesus said that a time is coming on the earth that there actually will be no way out. And that's why I said, pray that you be worthy to escape the things that are coming upon the earth, because your mind, once your mind receives the information there's no way out, or once you get into the trap and mentally you realize there's no way out and you've lost hope in God, and you know that's it. I don't care how many motivated, positive preachers or sermons you hear, your mind will go into bondage. And so the time is coming on the earth where that is exactly what's coming. People will experience the anguish, and they will have no way out. They will be at a loss mentally. They will stand in doubt, and they will be perplexed. Okay, that's the definition. That's what it means. And so Jesus, going back to the scripture, is telling us that when the heavens, and forgive me for being so detailed on this, or trying to be anyways, but when the heavens show their signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, and then there's a connection on earth of distress of the races with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Now, the sea represents humanity, okay? And the waves, that is just representing the turmoil. And the waves are the tossing or the swell of the sea, the vibration. If you look at the word waves in the Greek, it is salos. And the word salos means a vibration, a billow, a wave, a tossing or swelling. And the deeper Greek for the wave is sino. And you know, it's very interesting. It literally means to wag the tail, to wag the tail. So you see that vibration, to shake, to disturb. To move is more of the definition, to shake. Okay? So we have a tossing, a shaking, a vibration, and the word vibration always is connected to earthquake, by the way, in the book of Revelation. So you have this sea of humanity vibrating, shaking, being tossed. The sea, the waves are roaring. And the word roaring is akio, and it is used of a loud noise, or the word there is to make a loud noise, i.e. to reverberate, to roar, and the roaring of the nations. Okay, the deeper Greek word is akos, which means a loud or confused noise. A loud or confused noise. And I want to ask you, do you hear a lot of confusion in the world today? There is a tremendous amount of confusion all over the world. All over the world, there is confusion. It's loud. It's getting louder and louder, this confusing, this roaring, this reverberation. Okay? And so Jesus, again, talking about that final generation before he returns, says this is what things will look like. And then we go, move into verse 26. He said that men's hearts failing them. All right, well, what is that? A heart attack, right? Well, the Greek word is apo. There's two Greek words, apo, psycho. Psycho is what it really is, apo, psycho. And so you know what psycho is. It's the mind. It's the psychology. And we had some friends growing up that we often called psycho. There was a great movie called out, what that, Psycho, right? Well, the word apo, psycho, which means, again, men's hearts failing them, literally means to breathe out or to faint, to breathe out or to faint, to swoon away, to swoon away. Now, the word apo just simply means separation, out from, okay? But the next word in there is the suko, or the psyche, which is a, it means to breathe. Listen to this. It denotes a forcible respiration to a reduction of temperature, to chill, to wax cold. Now, that's important because Jesus said, in the last days, the love of many will go out. The flame will be extinguished. And this is a cooling down. And literally in the definitions, it means to be made or to grow cool or cold by the blowing. And it literally means the waning of love, metaphorically of waning love or love that is growing cold. So because of the events that are going on in the world in the last days before the second coming of Jesus Christ, because of these times, all right, men's hearts are going to fail. They're not going to keep the love. Now, you know, and I know, when men's hearts are failing, for what reason, by the way? Why is the love growing cold? Why is the light going out? Well, Jesus said men's hearts failing for fear. It's because of fear. The phobos, the dread, the terror, okay? And that's what the word is in the Greek, is phobos. It literally means to be put in fear or alarm, terror. So men's hearts are going to grow cold. The love of many will grow cold because of the alarm, because of fear, because of terror. Because the events that are coming are going to be likened unto that. Jesus said it. He said this, men's hearts failing them for fear. And this is why, the one reason why men's hearts will grow cold is for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. And that word looking after is the Greek word prosdokia. And the word prosdokia means expectation. Or apprehension of evil. By implication, it's an infliction that is anticipated. Again, an expectation. And the deeper word there is prosdokao, and that is basically the same, simply meaning to anticipate in thought, in fear, to expect. And so what's happening? What is Jesus saying? That men's hearts are failing them, number one, because of the terror, because of the fear, the alarm, and because for looking after. In other words, their expectation, their apprehension, they're watching something coming at them. It's like watching a meteorite coming right at you. Your eyes are wide open. You're standing there looking at it. They're expecting this thing to hit. There's a car, a head-on collision, and they're looking after those things which are coming. Those things which are coming. And that is the epikomai in the Greek, that phrase epikomai. And what does it mean? To supervene, to the things that are coming, to arrive, the things that are occurring, pending attack, the influence that is coming. Put it all together. Put it all together. Men's hearts are failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. What's coming on the earth? What are people seeing? Well, right now, in some nations, people are watching and going, okay, we're starting to feel a little anxious here. You know, the stirring of the anxiousness, the anxiety, the anguish, the distress of nations we talked about earlier. And we're watching weather going crazy right now. We're watching volcanoes erupt, earthquakes, hurricanes. We're seeing all kinds of tornado activity. We're seeing flooding. We're seeing crazy weather. Fires raging everywhere, cyclonic action. We're seeing wars and rumors of wars. We're watching the birth pangs. And every once in a while we're seeing these things happening, then comes a contraction, boom, and it's a cry. It's a loud woman in travail screaming, roaring, shouting for the pain of something that just happened. And it's all moving towards a birthing season. Something's going to be birthed. You don't start out on the pregnancy table with contractions and birth pangs and then say, oh, we're not going to give birth. No, you're going to give birth. And right now, something's ready to be birthed globally. Well, you and I need to know what it is, what all these contractions mean, what all these birth pangs mean. It's not for people to be walking around with their head in the, you know, in the clouds, ignoring the what Jesus told us to be watching for. You never ignore what Jesus told you to watch for, right? And so when we look at the signs in our generation, let us not be like Jesus' generation that said you could discern the sign of the skies, but you can't discern the sign of the times. He was very angry at them, you know, for their hypocrisy. And so we're supposed to be looking at what is here. And it's so obvious that these passages that Jesus wrote about and spoke about, you know, are coming to pass in our generation. It's so obvious if you're looking through the biblical lens, right? And what do they mean? Something's going to be birthed. What is it? Well, we're going to see in just a moment what it is. Now, back to verse 26 again. Men's hearts failing them, growing cold, waxing cold, love growing cold because of fear and because of the expectation of what they see coming, what's arriving on the earth. And then Jesus said, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. And the word heaven there is talking about the sky. It's talking about the universe or the world. It's talking about the celestial bodies. It's talking about, you know, just that elevated place. But there's powers. There's dunamis. And that's the word powers there. The dunamis of heaven shall be shaken. And that word shaken is siluo. And the word siluo means, and this is off amazing, it means to waver. It means to agitate. Now, this goes along with Revelation chapter 6. Remember that the heavens shall be shaken. That's what Jesus is talking about. And being shaken means to waver, to agitate, to rock, to destroy, to disturb, to incite, to move, to shake. Okay? And that word, to be shaken, that phrase there, goes to the deepest Greek, is salos. And it gets back to this again. A vibration. The heavens are going to shake. And does not the word of God tell us in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that God is not only going to shake the earth, but the heavens too, where he comes to shake the heavens and the earth? Yes, the heavens and the earth are going to be shaking. Now, in a symbolic way, The heavens being shaken is a taking away of the ability to be guided by the stars. You know, every seaman out at sea, every shipmaster knows that when you're out on that big ocean, you're guided, navigated by the stars. But when the dark comes, you have nothing to navigate by. You kind of get lost if you don't have the radar equipment. And so in ancient times, the stars disappearing, the heavenly bodies disappearing, there's nothing to navigate. Okay? And so God is going to shake things up to such a degree that there will be no navigation in the days ahead. And this is why the guide of the Holy Spirit, the light of the Word of God, the light of Jesus Christ, get the Word of God in your heart, because it's going to get dark. And thank God you may be on the other side of a trial right now, but as a dear friend said, on a scale of 1 to 10, we're just at 0.5 as far as tribulation and persecution are concerned. Imagine that, 0.5. We haven't even gotten to 1, and yet the 10 is going to come overnight, as it were, suddenly. And the words of Jesus are for that final generation. Are we that final generation? It sure does appear that we are. And I know for 2,000 years, people have said, well, we are the final generation. Well, that's wisdom. That just keeps the church alight and alert and sober and keeping themselves ready. God's never wanted his church to go to sleep. Now, verse 27. And this is where we make this connection. Then, right, after all these things are happening, shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So these events that Jesus talked about are connected to the coming of the Son of Man. Now, we know that the Son of Man cannot come in a cloud with power and great glory. We know he can't come unless there come a great falling away first, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and that man of sin be revealed. So what is going to be birthed? What is it that the earth is contracting right now to bring forth? The man of sin. Lucifer. The Antichrist. The beast. The little horn. The son of perdition. The earth is convulsing. The heavens are shaking. Now, why would the heavens shake of their power? Remember the sign on September 23rd, 2017 about Revelation chapter 12? Well, what was happening in Revelation chapter 12? Do you remember? Lots of things that we need to be paying attention to, but something that is to be likened unto what we just said about the earth and the heavens shaking. What do we read in verse 7, Revelation 12, 7? There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Well, that is the heavenly shaking, the powers of heaven shaking because of this Revelation 12 war between the devil and his angels and Michael and his angels. But where does it all lead? It leads to verse 12. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. And that short time is 3.5 years. It's very, very clear. So we are watching the signs that come from the Bible that are telling us what is coming. There's a birthing coming around the world, and that's why we're seeing all the chaos and the anguish. And in the midst of it, a church that's waking up finally, thank God, to their destiny, to their calling. But understand that when this birthing takes place, the power of the church during the great tribulation is overcome. Don't ever forget that, ladies and gentlemen. for 3.5 years. Let me read it in Revelation chapter 13. We are told in verse 5 of Revelation 13, there was given unto him a mouth, this is the Antichrist, speaking great things and blasphemies. Power was given unto him to continue 42 months, which is 3.5 years or 1,260 days. Verse 6, he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Hey, you're talking about a time when the devil comes in fury and rage on this earth. He's going to make war with the saints. And don't you say that's in the Middle East. The saints of God are everywhere around the world to keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And he's going to prevail. Now, that's during the Great Tribulation. The question is, are you going to be in the Great Tribulation? Or are you going to be in the wilderness being taken care of by God because you were counted worthy to escape the things that were going on? This escape is not a pre-tribulational rapture. That doesn't exist. But a going into the wilderness for 3.5 years does exist in Revelation chapter 12. Where there is a place prepared for the people. There are 144,000 overcomers who are standing on Mount Zion with the Lord. When you're on that mountain, you're not in the Great Tribulation down in the valley. But the majority of professors of Christianity are in the Great Tribulation, according to Revelation chapter 7. And those who are in the Great Tribulation are going to face the wrath of a raging dragon and will actually be overcome. The book of Daniel says that a time will come when the saints will literally fall. You ever read that? I know it's a tough one to really handle. It literally says they will fall so that they may be made white in their garments. In other words, their falling, their failure, their being overcome will actually work out a confession and a repentance at a very deep level. I want to find that scripture before I get off the air so you don't think I'm just kind of telling you stories here. And so Jesus is talking about all these things that are coming. You and I are standing here watching the events unfold. And we could go to other passages like Matthew chapter 24. We can go to other passages, Mark chapter 13. We could continue to look at 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We could look at 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We could go to the book of Revelation. We could read in the epistles of John. We could find the revelation of this moment throughout Scripture everywhere and ask ourselves a question. Are we the generation? We have been told that in the final generation there would be coming doctrines of demons. We were told that the time would come when people would gather themselves, teachers having itching ears, saying to the teachers, tell us what we want to hear. Make us feel good. And those false teachers who have such an intense desire to be honored, respected, and valued by men will actually come and tell them what they want to hear rather than equipping them for what they need to be equipped with, which is repentance, conviction, confession, brokenness, carry the cross, put off the old self. Don't be a friend of the world, because if you are, you're an enemy of God. Love not the world. I mean, the true teachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ should be so narrow that the world should be raving and mocking and scoffing them to such a degree. And if we're expecting the world to like us, we are probably in the wrong side of the moment. You do not tell sinners that God loves you and that's all there is to it. You tell sinners God loves you and he loves you enough to warn you that if you don't repent, you are going to go into the lake of fire. Now, there's a movie out, a new show. You can find it on Netflix, and it's all about Carlton Pearson. Carlton Pearson was one of the most lively preachers in the Pentecostal movement. He sat under Oral Roberts out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And Carlton Pearson, he thought it was his job to save the world, and he was very busy preaching and telling people about hellfire, brimstone. So he said one day that God spoke to him and told him, Carlton, the world doesn't need to be saved. The world is already saved. Everybody's going to heaven. And he began to preach universal reconciliation. He began to preach that there is no need to tell the world about hell and to tell the world about a lake of fire and needing to get saved. He began to preach another gospel saying that the whole world is going to be saved anyways because the love of God will never afford a human soul to go into eternal torment or into a barbecue of a lake of fire. And he began to preach this message. Now, the Pentecostal church resisted him, rejected the message, cast him out as a heretic. But he went on to preach this message. It's a doctrine of demons. And it's what people want to hear. The world wants to hear. They can live any way they want, and regardless of what they have to go through, they're still going to go to heaven. They're never, ever going to be eternally separated from their creator. That's the kind of doctrine we're talking about. We're talking about the kind of doctrine once saved, always saved. We're talking about the doctrines pre-trib rapture, another comforting to the flesh doctrine that we're going to escape before anything bad happens, regardless of how you live your life, that the church is going to disappear. These are all doctrines of devils. And one of the great doctrines of devils is that a Christian cannot be demonically possessed with a lying spirit to keep them in error to the end of the day so that their eternal soul will be damned in hell and then the lake of fire. Come on. Come on. This is it. This is the battle. This is the battle that we are facing. But what is the truth? I believe we're reading the truth. We're reading the truth. Hey, we've got about 15 minutes left in the broadcast. Maybe you'd like to join me in the conversation. The number to call is 818-369-0326, 818-369-0326. Maybe you'd like to share some thoughts or have some questions about what we're talking about today. All you need to do is press 1 on your dial pad, and I'll bring you immediately into the conversation. I am here today to tell you that I believe that our generation is a qualified generation, that we fit all the necessities of being that generation that Jesus was talking about 2,000 years ago in his economy. It's like 2 days ago, because a day is as 1,000 years to the Lord. So our time frame isn't his, in his perspective, he just spoke it a couple of days ago. So are we that generation? It sure does appear to be. What should we be looking at when we see all these signs? There's a birthing of an Antichrist, a new world order, a one world government controlled by the devil himself. The shaking of the heavens, the devil's coming onto the earth. We saw the sign. We saw the sign on September 23rd, the Revelation 12 sign. What does this mean to you? I want to tell you what it should mean, that your problems that you think you have are not even worthy to be compared to the glory that you shall receive if you endure this moment, if you overcome. And I want you to know something. With what's coming on the earth, the problems that you and I have, they're not. They're specks. They're specks of dust. I know they seem really important, but for what's coming, they're really not that important. It's really not that important. Well, I'm right. No, you're right. No, it doesn't matter. Honest to God, doesn't matter. Every man should be convinced in their own mind, and because this day that's coming is going to test every man's heart. This day that is coming is going to bring all the thoughts and secrets of men's hearts out into the open. So, there's no sense in getting caught up in all that stuff. I don't want to spend my time battling You know, people with their doctrines of once saved, always saved, the rapture, Christians can't have demons, you know, the whole world's saved because of what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago. The potential for the whole world is definitely there to be saved if they will confess Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are. But the only time we really need to get into those battles is when it's really fighting for someone's life, for their soul, or they really have a genuine desire to know. It's just to fight it, obviously doesn't do anything. It just tightens the knot. But the idea that what we are preaching, what Jesus preached, what Jesus taught, what Jesus said, what the Word of God says, is to get you ready, to get myself ready, to face what's coming. Because quite frankly, I don't want my love to grow cold. I don't want my love to grow cold. I don't want the light that is in me to be extinguished. And guess what? It can be. Obviously, if your love grows cold, it means you once had love. You once were saved. But something happens. He says to the church at Ephesus, I will put your candle out. I will remove your candle. I mean, the scriptures are replete everywhere. So what are you doing to prepare? What are you doing to prepare? How are you living your life today? How am I living? What am I doing? I'd love to hear from you. 818-369-0326. Press 1 on the dial pad, and we'd love to hear from you today what you're thinking about this conversation. Is it important to you? Is it something that you need to take heed to? Did it help you to recognize and see things in a more clear way? I mean, the heavens being shaken because of that battle going on in that heavenly realm between Michael and his angels, the dragon and his angels. What more can we say? What more can we say? You've heard the truth. The question is, how do I prepare to walk through these days and be found worthy to escape? Because I don't want to go into the tribulation, do you? Not with the dragon on planet Earth raging. I want to be kept in a preserved place. I want to be in the ark. I want to be in the wilderness. I want to enter into the chambers and shut the door. I want to walk in the integrity of the gospel, in the love of Christ. I want to endure to the end so that I will be saved. I want to become more like my Father in heaven in nature. I don't want to go into the Great Tribulation. Let's take our first call coming in today from area code 479-855. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor. It's a great day again in the Lord. Praise God.
Good morning, Pastor Ken. How are you today, sir?
I am blessed. Praise God. Just got done with
Hallelujah.
My walk out there.
Oh, yeah, you think that's hot. I just saw a sign the other day. It was a Christian sign that had hell on it. At the bottom it said, you think this is hot? What's going on, Brother Ken?
Well, I still got a T-shirt from Phoenix. I survived a 122. There's one day out there we had 122 degrees in Phoenix.
Oh, my gosh.
That
oh,
was
my
hot.
God. Yeah.
That was hot. But, you know, Pastor, what you're saying really is a real wake-up call to people. And I know a lot of people will probably desire to do the very things you talked about. Desire is one thing, then it becomes an act of the will from that point on that we will choose to do the things that you have talked about on here, opening up our scriptures, you know, showing corporal works of mercy, so to speak. Helping others, helping our brothers and sisters, doing everything that the Spirit of God has asked us to go ahead and do. It's one thing to hear and one thing to desire, but it's another thing to do. And most people, I think, will agree with you probably just about 100% of the things you said, but now we have to take into our spirit, into our mind, our will, our emotions, our soul realm, our spirit realm, and begin to do the very things that we've desired, the very things that you have spoken of, the very things that God has asked us to go ahead and do. Because desiring and wanting is just one thing. Performing and doing is something that is totally different.
Well, amen to that. That's a great admonition. And it is all about being doers of the word, because you can be deceived by not doing the word. Let me bring onto the line with you, beloved Patricia Joy Xavier. Good morning, Patricia. How are you today? You have something on your heart you'd like to share?
What an incredible program. I believe one of the best we could hear at this time. And not just because it's you saying it, but because it's the Spirit of God crying out through you. It is the word in the heart of God trying to get the hearts of multitudes that are listening. And I know there are multitudes listening all over the world. The most important thing is to begin to understand what you have been ministering by breaking down words and showing the picture of how one's love could wax cold. And you see, we're just in the beginning. I believe we have entered into the tribulation, but in the very, very beginnings of it. And as things get more difficult within this world and in our nation, and we're seeing it every day, our love is going to be tested toward one another, but first toward our God. And how will that love be tested? Through the demonic presence of the hideous and wicked things going on, trying to bring fear, as you said, into the hearts of God's children. And he will play tricks and deceive in a manner and way we have never even seen before. So we have to be ready in our hearts to have such great faith and love toward God that our love toward him cannot be shaken, and then everything else will fall in its place. But that love toward our Father has to be absolute, because that's the love that's going to be tried to wax cold.
Well, excellent admonition, and Patricia Joy will be coming on the air momentarily to bring her broadcast. Pastor Ken, any thoughts about what you just heard, sir?
No, Pastor Patricia's right on that. But the thing, of course, is I don't want people, after listening to this broadcast, to go back and say, yeah, that's a good point. I'll start this tomorrow, or I'll do it the next day. Well, that never seems to happen. We are great procrastinators in a lot of ways. So what I suggest, after people get off this broadcast and even after listening to Pastor Patricia for the next half hour, is to turn on a great praise tape, to open up the Bible, take a prayer time with the Lord, set some time apart, and just begin to worship him and praise him and come before him and get into the habit of doing that every day, and they'll see great wonders happening in their lives.
Amen. Great exhortation, admonition. I know that people like you, Pastor Ken, people like Patricia, people, we have friends that are in ministry, that our ministries are going to be extremely important, that we are not sending a mixed message or a confused sound, that New Wine Ministries will be a clarion call. And hopefully this Omega Radio Network that we have built, that is 24/7 going around the world, will continue to bring a clarion call to the ends of the earth, to awaken the people of God, to warn the nations. And God doesn't want anybody to perish. He's a God of love. There's no doubt about that. He's written that. He wants all men to be saved. Unfortunately, he's dealing with men's wills. And the will is free to choose whatever it desires. And unbelief is one of the major enemies of the human soul itself. So, guys, it's been a pleasure being with you. Patricia Joy Xavier is coming up next. I'm going to go to a dear friend of mine, Keith Green, to leave you with a beautiful song to set the stage, as Pastor Ken just said. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Shalom, and God bless you.
Oh, Lord, down low. How majestic is thy name in all the earth. Oh Lord, how Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. Who hath displayed thy splendor above the heavens? Thou hast established strength from mountains being filled to show all thy name me. Oh Lord, now Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. Oh Lord, how Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. When I consider my head, the work of my finger, what man that does take thought of him, and the Son of Man that thou dost care for him? Oh, how I love you.
Hello, this is Pastor Patricia Xavier. I wonder if what was said earlier, in that there is an incredible understanding coming forth about the times we're in. And I think more and more is being revealed. And I do have to admit that what Pastor Vincent was ministering today and explaining the depths of the deception of Satan and how men's hearts are going to fail them, it is a need. There is a need to understand it to the depths of our soul. There is a need to have the greatest work of God in our life than we have ever had. And the reason for that is because of the great deception that's coming and is. I mean, it has already started. There has been incredible deception moving about and around us. And the greater and the more clever the work of the enemy will become, the greater and more clever he will be able to get us into deception. So we need to really know what's going on. Yes, we need to know what's going on. I can't, maybe my heart wants to cry out so desperately for people to realize that there are so many ways in which a Christian can be deceived at this time, that if you knew and understood the depths of it, it would boggle your imagination. Things that you would hold very lightly as secure within your intelligence and thought mind is not secure anymore. In other words, if you don't understand the absolute clarity of the Word of God by the Holy Spirit in absolute truth, you are open to deception, and that is a very dangerous place to be at this time. Now, we can praise the Lord and sing wonderful songs to Him from now to evermore, and we will. And that is a wonderful experience for all. But what really needs to be understood is the depths of this deception. So in this time we're in, we can go through the fire and come out on the other side without any fault within us being left. And one of the things I have been noticing more than anything else lately is the double-mindedness of many Christians that I have known. And I am seeing and hearing double-mindedness like I never have before. This is new. This is new to the extent in which I am viewing it. It used to always be a problem. I mean, always for 2,000 years, written in the scriptures of God, and even before that in the Old Testament. Of late, I see an onslaught of it, an onslaught of double-mindedness. And most Christians don't even know that that is the position they're in. And it is frightening to see, and it is frightening to watch. Therefore, we must have the understanding of the deliverance ministry and also the divine wisdom of discernment of what is demonically operating right now to bring down every soul that the evil one can find to do so through very clever deception that is not realized in the minds of most Christians. What I have been seeing in double-mindedness lately is called schizophrenia within the world, the medical world of psychology. And it's a very common problem in these perilous end days that we're in. There are so many unhealthy conditions of the human mind right now that doesn't know the work of and the cleverness of the enemy and have not the understanding of the depths of scripture that are becoming or are being deemed to be mentally ill or, as scriptures point out, double-minded. Studies say in the world that there are as many as 50 million so-called schizophrenics in the United States alone. And the number is growing intensely. Oh, it's bringing about an incredible amount of financial blessings for these institutes, or I should just say financial. But abundance, not blessings, for these institutes that work with these mental problems. But they are not mental. They become mental problems. I shouldn't say they're not mental problems. What I should say is they become mental problems because of demonic warfare. And there are different degrees of schizophrenia or double-mindedness. And the real problem or doorway or grounds given includes sexual abuse, domestic violence, and rejection. Oh, rejection is huge, especially when in the generational family tree line. We need to see that this is a true problem generating incredible double-mindedness in a Christian's life at this time. And double-mindedness is rooted in witchcraft, iniquity, and rebellion. You know, there is deliverance and inner healing available. For some, it took longer than others to find it, but the end result is that they were free in Jesus' name. And let me tell you some of the different types of rejection, which is a primary problem for those who are double-minded in all their ways. Rejection, number one, can start from the womb, from the father or mother, or a mother competing with her younger daughter, or a father competing with his younger son. It's also rooted in insecurity, and I'm talking about rejection, temper, anger. If you're feeling these feelings continuously, insecure, your temper goes off, you're in anger, you're in paranoia or despair, hate or guilt, with vivid imaginations about people, or a lot of talkativeness, and definitely fears, you're dealing with types of rejection there. And it's up to you to find out if this is a problem for you in this time we're in, because it can bring many loves waxing cold because the individual doesn't understand the demonic warfare they're in with this spirit of rejection that started when they were very young, in children or even in the mother's womb. And there are other personality traits that are not your own, but the working of demons that we have to look at to be sure that our love doesn't wax cold. And that is self-will and stubbornness, accusations toward others. Now, I want you to begin, please, to search your heart out in these areas, because you don't want to be found deceived because of these things that are within your soul realm. Or it could be self-accusation. The enemy is causing you to self-accuse yourself all the time. He's the accuser, but he's working on your self-accusation. Or the fear of judgment upon your life. That can bring a great problem to you if you're not willing to walk in absolute faith in these areas. The fear of judgment from God is enormous at this time, and we must understand that he does not judge us. We must first judge ourselves, that we may not be judged. And how do we do that? By the expression and understanding of these things that I am bringing up to you. Self-will, stubbornness, your accusations toward others, self-accusation that demons are working within you to do, fear of being of judgment by God, false compassion toward things. You act like you're really compassionate toward people's problems, but you're not. Perfection rooted in pride. In other words, how great thou art. Now, there is a place for perfection. The Bible says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. But this perfection is the kind of perfection that demands absolute correctness all the time toward oneself and toward others. Or if you're the kind of person is woe is me, pouting, or an individual who's truly very, very lonely and suffers from loneliness. A person who feels rejected is hard to get through to, very hard to get through to. They can just barely receive love from a few people. They always feel that people are just saying things, but they never really mean it. And that's sad, because God himself will be saying wonderful things to an individual. But even not believing that God feels that way about them. For instance, when someone says, I love you, they cannot receive it because they are listening to the lies of the demons in their minds. Rejection says, that spirit says, they are just saying that, or do not believe them. That's what that spirit says. Do not believe them. They're just saying that. They will only end up hurting you like others have. This goes on in the mind and heart of Christians. And we must be delivered from these things to be walking in the realm of the Spirit, as been mentioned in the last program from Pastor Vincent Xavier. Many people struggle to believe that people really love them, but they just cannot receive it. They can't. They have a very difficult time because of the spirit of rejection. And people bound in double-mindedness, schizophrenic, unclean spirits, if you want to call it that, it is truly double-mindedness, unclean spirits and wounds of the mind and emotions, and often withdraw themselves from others and would rather be by themselves. Get me alone. Get me alone. You must understand these demons are making people feel that this is their personality. Why? Because you have believed the lies of the enemy, and this opened the doors for them to come in and torment you, as I have said so many times. They sometimes scream when they cannot handle the flood of negative thoughts that come through their minds. When you're double-minded, that is the way you will be. You just want to scream. They will feel someone is thinking badly about them. And of course, if it was not for these evil spirits talking in your mind, then you would not have the problem. Do we understand the depths of warfare yet? I have been crying out on this program over and over again to get my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, so you could begin to understand these demonic principles that can work in you at this time, at the time in which is most necessary to have a pure and holy mind, the mind of Christ, more so than any other time in history. However, it's always been important, but so much more now because the deception is so much greater. The double-minded demon, the world calls it schizophrenic, is a controlling demon. And that kind of thing, when you're a controlling demon, it is the spirits of witchcraft and sorcery that's at work. If you have a controlling spirit, that's it. It is the spirit of witchcraft and sorcery. And it will work behind the scene to make sure that things work out its way, the demonic way, their way, the spiritual demonic being's way. The truth is, a person who has a deep sense of rejection feels insecure and inferior. We can't afford it. None of us could afford this. That's why we must be made aware of spiritual warfare. That's why I keep harping on getting my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, on Amazon. You can purchase it, or you can be a blessing to the work of Omega Radio that Pastor Vincent is on and myself, with Deliverance Christian Bill of Rights and other wonderful ministries. You could be a help by giving a love gift of $20. And we will be so blessed by that, and I will be very happy. I will be very happy to send you my book as a gift from me. I don't know how much I could express my feelings about this, but if it touches you to learn of these things, then you can send that gift of $20, that love, care, that benefit for $20 to help this radio, Omega Radio Network, to be even better than what we have and continue in this way. Send it to Pastor Vincent Xavier, P.O. Box 100, Decatur, Arkansas, at 72722, and just send your address with it, and I'll be more than happy to send my book to you so you can learn about the things that I'm expressing, and you'll have it on hand so you don't have to go program to hear, though you can. It is on archive, but the book will be there to help you and to get out of this demonic stronghold that you may be in as a Christian, the one that is supposed to help others. Now, double-mindedness brings a demon of control, as I said, and it is a spirit of witchcraft. And if you are controlling, please take a look at this. It's going to work behind the scenes, as I said it. Many, many people today cannot really love like they want to because someone or molested them in their youth. I go through this all the time. Oftentimes, I should say, when I am putting someone through a deliverance ministry, inevitably, when it is a very severe bondage and vexation within their life, they have been molested as a child. So we need to begin to understand that the workings of molestation as a child brings terrible experiences after you're married if you don't get down to the root of it and understand its persecutions. The spouse that has been molested, they are married, and this, if they are married, this individual has to deal with all of this with them. It becomes a real problem. People bound in the unclean spirits of double-mindedness needs deliverance, and only deliverance will work. Not drugs, not drinking, or free sex can heal you. Only someone who can point you to understanding and deliverance and seek the face of Jesus daily as a healer for total surrender to him. Now in John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. Who is this Father? He is the great I am, the incredible master of all universes and cosmos, the creator of all things. Now, what is a demon? Let's look at that. They are fallen spirits who rebelled against God with Satan. Book of Revelation 12, 3 through 9. Demon spirits seek to invade and indwell human bodies. In Matthew 12, 44, it says, by indwelling a person, they obtain a greater advantage in controlling that person than when they are working from the outside. Satan is the chief of these evil spirits. Their main objective is to destroy God's creation, especially humans, because we are made in the image of God, and they hate us. That's told to you in John 10:10. Demons are also called evil spirits, unclean spirits, devils, and demons, and are the causes for most sicknesses, I would say all sicknesses, and diseases, including mental, spiritual, physical. Demonic spirits are named according to their function, such as the spirit of fear, spirits of rejection, spirits of self-rejection, spirits of suicide, spirits of addiction, spirits of lust, spirits of pornography, spirits of incest, spirits of bestiality, spirits of homosexuality, spirits of fornication, spirits of adultery, spirits of divination, psychics have this, spirits of witchcraft, spirits of jealousy, spirits of rage, spirits of violence, familiar spirits. These spirits imitate dead loved ones. Spirits of murder, including abortion. Spirits of error, false religions. Spirits of idolatry. Spirits of criticism. Spirits of envy. Spirits of confusion. Spirits of anxiety. Spirits of infirmity, sickness. Deaf and dumb spirits, you can't hear, you can't, you're not hearing, you're not listening, you're not able to, you don't get it. Spirits of blindness, spirits of cancer, spirits of arthritis, spirits of antichrist, spirits of perversion, spirits of masturbation, spirits of pride, crippling spirits. Spirits of insanity, spirits of death, spirits of bitterness, spirits of hatred, spirits of greed, spirits of whoredom, harlotry, lying spirits of heaviness, spirits of depression, occult spirits, the list of go on and on. There are paranoid spirits, double-mindedness, called sometimes double souls or two souls. And Satan's master plan is to destroy the human race, but also more desperately to destroy rejection, beginning with double-mindedness, comes in the form of prenatal rejection, as I said earlier, when in the womb, rejection after birth, self-rejection, fear of rejection, inability to give or receive love, starved for love. Folks, there's so much to talk about in this area. I haven't even touched on all the aspects of the spirit of rebellion. And then it goes on and on from there. How much easier would it be for you to get the book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, so that you may be set free in the times we're in? It's imperative to do so. Bless you.